In tatters, near collapse, unraveling. Some of the words being used to describe tomorrow's ceasefire in Syria, brokered by UN and Arab League Special Envoy Kofi Annan. Earlier today, Syrian forces fired across the border into a refugee camp in Turkey, wounding at least five people. And on the Lebanese border with Syria, a Lebanese cameraman was killed by gunfire from the Syrian side. Both incidents raising concerns that neighboring countries will be drawn into Syria's year-long internal conflict as tomorrow's ceasefire collapses. This weekend, Syrian rebels rejected a last-minute demand from the government calling for them to lay down arms. The government also called on foreign governments to stop funding rebels. The BBC's Jim Muir has been monitoring events from Beirut, Lebanon. And Jim, start with that shooting on the Turkish border. A human rights group says the Syrians were targeting the rebels because they'd killed Syrian soldiers at a checkpoint, and then they ran into that refugee camp in Turkey. Is that what you're hearing?
The exact antecedents of the shooting across the border are not very clear. There is that report that there was an attack by rebel fighters on Syrian troops, but also reports that some wounded people from a nearby Syrian village were trying to make their way across the border and were being shot at by Syrian troops as well. And it could be a combination of both those possible incidents, but the upshot is that shots were fired across the border, so Ankara is very angry, and this will undoubtedly play into the rising tension between the two countries, because the Prime Minister, Mr. Erdogan, is extremely angry about the way President Assad has reacted to the trouble inside his country, and that really wants Mr. Assad to go. He's in the forefront of those calling for the regime to step down.
Well, that's Turkey, and then we know that there have been calls from Arab countries, you know, admonishments, at the very least, of Syria. So is there a fear that other countries will be drawn in?
Well, at this stage, it's too early to say what the consequences will be if Kofi Annan's peace mission fails. But the Turks are very close to writing it off at this stage, because early Tuesday, it was the deadline set for Syrian government troops to be out of towns and cities throughout the country with all their heavy weapons, which they weren't supposed to be using anymore. Well, that's clearly not going to happen. There is hostilities continuing. There's no sign of a big Syrian troop withdrawal. So if the Kofi Annan plan has indeed hit the buffers, as it were, there is talk, for example, from Turkey of setting up some kind of protected corridors for humanitarian aid going into Syria, some kind of buffer zones, perhaps under military protection. But frankly, if the Kofi Annan plan, which had an international consensus behind it, bites the dust, it could well be that countries like Russia and China, which had been protecting Syria at the Security Council, won't be able to do that anymore and may have to back some kind of more stringent action.
Well, we know Syria's foreign minister is in Moscow today for talks on ending the crisis, but you know, if that fails, then what? I mean, you mentioned, you know, it going back to the UN with maybe a stronger action against Syria. But, I mean, we are hearing that maybe as many as 180 people were killed, mostly civilians, this past weekend by Syrian forces. I mean, what's the sense of timing, and can the world just watch that continue?
Well, the more they do that, and the more that they have seen themselves, the Syrian authorities, to have torpedoed the peace plan, the stronger the pressure will be on Russia, China, and others to go along with some more kind of muscular intervention. I think we're still a very long way from the UN sanctioning something like what happened in Libya. That is still a long way off, but it's not totally inconceivable that something like that might happen if this whole scenario continues along the kind of bloodstained path of carnage where it is at the moment. But I have to say also, the Russians have strategic interests involved here. They would like to see a peaceful regime change in Syria that keeps Syria within the Russian orbit. Syria provides Russia with its only warm water seaport. It buys a lot of Russian arms and so on. It's a strategic relationship. They are probably looking beyond the Assad regime, but they would perhaps like it to mutate much like the Soviet Union mutated into something not too dissimilar, rather than a complete regime change as happened in Libya, and which would carry Syria firmly into the Western camp. So that's something we have to bear in mind in the difficult weeks that undoubtedly lie ahead.
The BBC's Jim Muir in Beirut, Lebanon, monitoring events in Syria. Jim, thanks so much.
You're very welcome.